Hey, welcome to The Huddle. Here we talk about creating equitable spaces in education for the clinician, for the learner, for the parent, because it all matters. It matters in education, it matters in our business therapy practices, it matters in the wellness and the well-being of teachers, educators, interventionists, and parents. So here we talk about how people benefit, the outcomes for the learners who are impacted by the equitable spaces we have or not. Welcome to The Huddle. Today's episode, again, it's my musings from my car. I get inspired and then I press record, I talk, it turns into something we call audio file that turns into a podcast. But today we are talking about curriculum, how we choose it, how we select it, what it looks like inside of our classrooms. Take a listen. Here's a good question. What's the curriculum? These are questions that parents may or may not ask. As a parent, I'm looking for evidence of a curriculum. I may not ask, but I'm observing and looking at the tools in my child's classroom and their learning environment and what's coming home or what's not coming home. And, you know, as a parent, I think our kids had two different, very starkly different educational experiences, and it was based upon where we were geographically. And I am looking for, what I was looking for was just not being found. And I know I'm not the only person out there. And as a practitioner, you know, there's so many things that are on at our disposal, at our fingertips. And everything that we pull down from the internet or from resources and text should be in alignment with what the mission and philosophy of our school is, you know, what we do. It should also be what should be prioritized is what are the individual needs of the child. There are many ways to address comprehension. There are many ways to address auditory comprehension and reading comprehension. And if I have three different learners in my classroom, all the same age, all at the same grade level, those are three different brains, right? And so differentiating instruction is not something that we do when learners present with a deficit. It's what happens in every other field. If I go to exercise class, the person who's teaching the exercise class says, you know, this is what we're doing. If you need a modification, you can still achieve the same muscle group attention if you modify and do this type of squat versus this type of squat. If you need a chair, you'll still be able to target that same muscle group. Why isn't that philosophy being embraced readily and consistently inside of our classrooms where our children are spending an inordinate amount of time daily? And why can't we say, if you need a modification, the same muscle group can still be addressed if we do odd problems, if you modify it this way, if you use a number line or if you use an abacus? Sometimes number lines are visually confusing for many children, especially those who have learning disabilities, especially those who have dyslexia. You can't put a number line in front of a person who's already reading at a pace, at a space visually that is the orientation is different from the typical learning stages, right? So why put a number line in front of them? You can still achieve the same muscle group, still achieve the same outcome if we give them tangible objects. I'm wondering, why can't we think of the educational space that our children enter every day? The tools that we use from the internet, the tangible things that we utilize for them in instruction should be in alignment with what they are. So, for example, people use Teachers Pay Teachers. I don't have a problem with that website at all. There are lots of people who are putting some really good information, really good items there at our disposal. But are we pulling things down that says that we are going to attend to the muscle group or the brain development of our children? Or are we just pulling things down and saying, hey, here's a nice, cute little reading comprehension task? So if a person has difficulty reading, then is the issue with, are we really looking at reading comprehension at their level? Or are we looking at reading comprehension at a level? I would like to think that if we are trying to address reading comprehension, then that's a different muscle group than reading fluency. And oftentimes they are not commensurate. They are not the same, just like auditory comprehension. So if I'm reading at, for example, level A, and I am given classroom work at level C for reading comprehension, do I have an issue with reading comprehension? Or is my reading ability impacting my ability to do the task before me? My issue with reading comprehension as a learner would be better found at the level that I am as a reader. So think about that for a minute when we pull down items from the internet, when we pull down curricula. Are we really addressing the learner in front of us? Or are we saying, this is what I expect you to do, this is what you should know how to do, and is that right? At Excel Prep, we have made the decision to have blocks of academic learning time. So the blocks are ability-based. So if you are a kindergartner and you are reading at a second grade level, you'll be in a second grade reading group. You will rotate to where you need to be so that your needs are being met. If you are a second grader and you are reading at a first grade level, you will be with the people who are also reading at your level so that you get precise instruction. You will, you know, adverse effects. And making learning aversive is oftentimes being met with insurmountable tasks. And so we want to have a nurturing environment. We want to have smaller groups. We want to have places where children are being attended to and instruction is being differentiated. And the first step in differentiating instruction is providing it at the level that it needs to be for the child. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this special episode of We Built a School here on the Huddle Podcast. Check us out at excelprepschools.com, Excel, E-X-C-E-L, prepschools.com. You can always check out thehuddle.online. And until next time, do your best.